The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the Reformation of the Lutheran Church we commemorate every year around this time. The Reformation gave us again the open Bible, the gospel of an open heaven, the glad tidings of the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, the message of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and it gave again to us the gospel message of life and immortality. And with all this, the Reformation gave humanity the aptitude which is found in our modern institutions, such as hospitals and nursing homes, and has constructed the frame of modern political freedom. Surely these are great blessings, both religious and political. Without the Reformation, all these blessings would have been impossible. The Reformation gave them to us. Meaning so much to us, the Reformation demands our gratitude. It demands it again today. And this gratitude our worship service intends to express. Today we celebrate the 500th anniversary of Luther posting the 95 Theses on the castle church door at Wittenberg. Luther sounded the alarm that awakened and stirred the mind of the benighted church. Luther sounded the clarion that shook the bulwarks of paganized Roman hierarchies. Luther sounded the death knell to many evil thraldom over the consciences of Christian men and women. Luther sounded the trumpet that led the way to Christian freedom and that restored the faith and the hope of God's royal priesthood on earth. Yet, Luther blazed the triumph of Christ's church on earth and endowed it with Christian liberty and with it the consciousness of its Christian privileges and duties. So 500 years on, it is very appropriate to ask ourselves, what lessons have the Reformation and the life of Luther to teach us at this time? What lessons may we learn from the Reformation and the life of Luther to sustain us, to help us, and to encourage us in our day? May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, God reigns over the nations. We read in Psalm 47 verse 8 that God reigns over the nations and God sits on his holy throne. If the Reformation teaches us anything, it teaches us that God rules all at all times, including times of moral upheaval like we are currently experiencing. Who was Luther? A peasant's monk. A professor at the University of Wittenberg, which was the youngest and one of the weakest institutions of its kind at that time. What could this Luther do? He had no family prestige or power at his command, and he had no powerful connections. What could Luther accomplish as of himself in a battle that his 95 theses brought upon him? Against him stood the Roman Catholic Church, one of the most powerful organisations in the world. And that church was powerful. It was powerful because it was built upon the ignorant superstition of the masses. It was powerful because it was bolstered by the interrelated selfish interests of its officials. It was powerful because of its cunning, the wiles, and the ruthlessness of its leadership. Others had assailed that church as individuals. Others had fought it in groups, but to no avail. The entire period of European history between 1300 and 1517, more than 200 years, was agitated by efforts on the part of individuals and of groups to reform the church, both as to its head and also to its members. For a period of many years, even the papacy was divided against itself, with two, and for a while, three popes condemning and cursing one another. But there was no change for the better. The Great Council of Pisa, 1409, undertook a reformation but accomplished nothing. The Greater Council at Constance, 1414 to 1418, for 4 years, and the Third Council at Basel, from 1431 to 1449, that is 18 years, flagrantly failed in their endeavours. Even while these councils sat and discussed the necessary reformation, a man like Huss in 1415 was led from the council and burned to death because he proclaimed the truth. 1 year later, the council still in session, Jerome of Prague, was led to a similar fate. In the light of such experience, what was Luther to accomplish? And yet Luther won. And why? Luther gives us the answer in the immortal stanza of his battle hymn when he sang, "With might of ours can naught be done, soon were our fall effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Christ Jesus it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever." So it is clear to us, Luther allied himself with God who rules all things. Luther believed and felt assured that Jesus, who had said to his disciples, "All authority and power has been given to me in heaven and on earth," and who had given his disciples a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he had given his disciples a promise, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world," was the resurrected Christ. He was still living, and that his word does not change. This word, God's word, Luther had made the basis for his 95 theses. This word he proclaimed against all those who denied the truth, and this word, God's word, conquered. God ruled in the great upheaval. God upheld the eternal truth of his word and caused it to shine forth victoriously again in the end. So let us learn this lesson for our own benefit. God most assuredly still rules. He is ruling in the turmoil of today. His truth will issue forth from and will stand victoriously at the end. Yes, it shall abide forever. Today, with the pride of man, and the sway of psychology and its counsellors, man derides God whenever God's word comes into conflict with their own will and ideas. We can see this in the push for same-sex marriage. People have largely forgotten about God, about Adam and Eve, and about sin. They just live for themselves. God's word, the guide of man throughout the ages, is universally set at naught, and selfish opinions have usurped and replaced the word of God. Humanism and rationalism, in which every man thinks he is his own God, has now exalted himself as God. Such people are truly without God and without hope in the world, as we learn from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Into all this chaos, the Reformation sends a cry of its festival psalm, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Let us hear this message again today. God lives. He rules. Listen to the Saviour, whom the Reformation so gloriously exalts in all his saving glory, and hear him as he says also to you and to our generation, as you read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Hear Jesus as he assures us that not a sparrow falls from the housetop, not a hair from our heads, without the will of our Father in heaven. Friends, if God knows, and he surely does, if God rules, and he does, then, beloved, it is well. Let us always look up to him. Let us then learn this lesson. With his vision, we will march on victoriously, both in time and in eternity. Secondly, man is personally accountable to God. As we thus contemplate the message, "God reigns over the nations," And look back to the Reformation and to Luther, there comes to us another message telling us that we all, every one of us, are accountable to God for whatever we have done, whether it be good or bad. And yes, this is a somber message, and it comes to us from many sources. It comes to us from our own conscience. It is on this account that we all instinctively dread so much the judgment of God. It also comes to us from God's revealed law, the Holy Scripture, which emphasises our inborn consciousness. The eternal thou shalt and thou shalt not, reverberating continually in our minds, clarifies our consciousness and strengthens our conscience. And so both of these voices proclaim to us a somber message: you must answer to God. Luther and the Reformation, both in teaching and example, stresses this truth. In thundering tones they declare to us the message in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then, each one of us shall give account of himself to God. You're all accountable to God for whatever you do. Prepare to meet God. Make ready to give an account of your stewardship. In the very first of the famous 95 Theses, which Luther nailed to the door of the castle church at Wittenberg 500 years ago, Luther said, "Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ did say, 'Repent ye,' intended that the whole life of the believer should be penitence." How could Luther have proclaimed more clearly and more forcibly this fact, the accountability of man to God? Again, when 4 years later, Luther at Worms stood before the highest representatives of both the church and the state, he by word and deed proclaimed and emphasised this fact. He would not recant unless they showed him a clear word of God which demanded such recanting or retracting of what he had written. He proclaimed his own accountability to God. He demanded as his right and as the right of every individual, as well as man's duty. Thus he stood at Worms with his immortal declaration, "Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise, God help me." So he stands today declaring to the world the accountability of every individual directly to his Maker and Creator. Luther could have avoided trouble at that time and to his temporal advantage. Great bribes were held out to him if only he would submit to the papal authority and cease his onslaught on the powers that be. And had he felt like many people today who deny the truth that really makes men free, then Luther would have looked out for himself, would have compromised the truth, and enjoyed the friendship and honours of the mighty men of his time. But Luther could not recant, he could not surrender, because he had within him the conviction that he must answer to God for whatever he would do, and that he knew that it was only right to obey God rather than men. May we today again hear this message of our accountability directly to God for all that we do. Our own church will do well to heed this message. As Lutherans, we have received much, and no doubt much will be required of us. Not only have we been entrusted with the heritage that comes to us directly from Luther and the Reformation, but we've also received the additional bounty of additional blessings that have come to us through our own Lutheran heritage. God's word and Lutheran doctrines pure are a precious boon entrusted to our stewardship. Consider the many blessings, the rich literature we have, churches with their preaching the pure word, schools, colleges and missions. Let us realise the obligation that such rich possessions lay upon us. There is no question as to the need of our church and its message. The world, and to it belongs a large portion of nominal Christianity, is sitting like the heathen, in darkness and in the shadow of death. Millions of souls are in need of evangelism, of the gospel. The field which is the world is ripe unto the harvest, and still the labourers, the real labourers, are few. Our duty is clear, and we shall be accountable to God for whatever we have done and for whatever we have not done. So thirdly, man is personally acceptable to God. The final great message that comes to us again from the Reformation and from Luther is this: man, every man, that is every person, is directly acceptable to God. Man may go to his heavenly Father just as he is, without one plea, but that Jesus' blood was shed for me. Man is not acceptable to God in his own name or merit. All people, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But man may come in Jesus' name, for scriptures say in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So this is a total sum of the message of the Reformation. It is the everlasting gospel with Luther preached to all nations and kindreds and tongues and people. It is a message that in harmony with the scriptures teaches in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It is the message which teaches the truth that is central to the whole Bible, namely, that Jesus is the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, that the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and that with his stripes we are healed. Yes, Luther and the Reformation thunders the message down through the ages that man is justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and that with faith in Jesus Christ the heavens are open to all people. The access to the throne is clear to all. That in Jesus Christ man is acceptable with our Father in heaven. Thus Luther and the Reformation preached against the heresies of their day. And this is their message to us and the world. Let us confess before the world today the faith of Luther and the Reformation in the words of the Apostle to the Gentiles, as we read in Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So let us stand, not be able to do otherwise. It will be clear from this confession that there is for us Lutherans no thought of a necessity of rethinking our religion. We accept the gospel message, the everlasting gospel, from Luther and the Reformation as a clear teaching of the Bible, the Word of God. So we hold it out to the world as the one thing needful to help in all its troubles, to lift it up in the assurance that God reigns, and that he not only holds man account for whatever he does, but that he also in his grace is ready to receive every sinner, to comfort him in the many experiences of life, to lead him from strength to strength, and to enable him finally to appear in Zion before God. What more do we need? We need no other gospel. It offers to our souls the hope that we need, the joy that remains, salvation for time and eternity. It brings peace that surpasses all understanding, rest that revives, the vision that is not a dream, but that resolves itself into the sight that sees God face to face in heaven. May we joyfully receive from Luther and the Reformation this message, this wonderful gospel again today. May we cherish it. May we exalt it. Let us declare it to the world. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.